In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Matthias, the one called to take the place of Judas after our Lord's resurrection. We are very blessed here at St. Mary's to be able, thanks to the presence of our dear sisters as singers, to be able to chant the Masses of all the Apostles, which has been our custom now for several years. When the feast of an Apostle or another high feast falls during Lent, the feast is kept. If it falls on a Sunday, then it is transferred to the following Monday. However, the last Gospel on that day then must always be the last Gospel of the Feria, the feast, the Mass that we would have kept inviolate if there had not been an intervening feast day. And this is the case today. For this reason, then, we have more than one church father to consider, for we have a homily on both of the Gospels. Although, as so often happens in our sacred liturgy, they are, in fact, beautifully and providentially intertwined. The Gospel for today's feast is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew. It is a Gospel dear to so many of us. When our Lord prays to his Almighty Father, thanking him for having hidden the great mysteries of our religion and revealed them to the little ones, to the humble. It is the great Gospel when our Lord invites us to take up our cross, to take upon us the yoke of Christ, which is sweet, and to become like him, meek and humble of heart. This then, this Gospel which we have read, follows the account from the Acts of the Apostles of what happened after our Lord's resurrection. And it is no accident that the Church has this feast always fall immediately before Lent or at the beginning of Lent. It is a reminder that the apostolic succession first occurred due to a terrible sin, due to the fact that our Lord was betrayed. In the office of today's feast, we take up the words of our Lord, "Greater love than this no man hath, to lay down his life for his friends." Truly, these words have their full meaning only in Christ himself. For Christ called his friends, all of us, that is, even those who brought about his death. All of us, indeed, by our sins, made necessary his work of redemption. And so, although he calls us friends, we do not forget that all of us are capable of betraying our Savior. And it is this sobering account, then, which we hear of at the beginning of Lent, of the succession. Ever since Judas's terrible betrayal and then his suicide, his place among the apostles, his bishopric, has been empty. And the apostles understand from the teachings of our Lord that this vacancy now needs to be filled. And so it is filled by one of the other disciples, Matthias, who now takes up the place and thus continues the apostolic succession. This invitation to humility and the perfect love of Christ is commented on by St. Augustine. That is the father whom we have for the feast today. St. Augustine is one of the four great Latin doctors of the Church, along with St. Jerome, St. Ambrose, and St. Gregory. The Church numbers four great Latin doctors and four great Greek doctors, the Greeks being St. Athanasius, St. Gregory Nazianzen, St. Basil, and St. John Chrysostom. All of these, with the exception of St. Gregory, who lived some two centuries after the others, all of these were fathers of the 4th century, this most important of all centuries for the fathers, and indeed in the life of the church, where the church turned from becoming a church of the catacombs to the official religion of the empire, and we see then the flourishing, at long last, of her greatest thinkers. St. Augustine was then a contemporary of St. Jerome. He lived a little bit later, but he was still largely a contemporary of St. Jerome. And St. Jerome is the one who comments on the Feria of today, which is also taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew. St. Jerome wrote an admirable commentary on the Gospel of St. Matthew, and the Church draws from that commentary today. If we were to have the Mass in Violet today, it would be a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount, which we began on Ash Wednesday. And so the Gospel which we have at the end of Mass today ties in perfectly with what is taught to us and expounded by St. Augustine concerning the importance of childlike humility. This is tied then to St. Jerome's explanation of the passage we hear at the end of Mass and this continuation of the Sermon on the Mount. Our Lord on the feast tells us today, greater love than this no man hath to lay down his life for his friends. This is a lesson which we shall hear again and again throughout Lent, but we hear it especially in this early Feria of Lent, when our Lord explains in the Sermon on the Mount, you have heard that it was said to them of old, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. Our Lord is reminding everyone, but certainly everyone already knew, which was that this was truly the universal law amongst the pagans. Do good to those who do good to you, and evil to those who do evil to you. It is the simple law of tit for tat, of scratching my back because I scratched yours. Our Lord explains that this law, which has been the foundation of most societies up until that time, will no longer suffice. It is not enough to do good only to your friends, to return good for good while returning evil for evil. No, a new law has come now, the perfect law of Christ. And St. Jerome takes the time to comment on it because he understands, for his hearers also in the 4th century, that this is indeed seen as a very hard commandment. Indeed, he says, St. Jerome, that many critics of our religion look upon this and say, you see, your Savior commands the impossible. He responds, no, he does not command the impossible of his saints. He demands perfection. Perfection is to be found especially in this perfect law of charity, to pray for our persecutors, to do good to those who do evil to us. This is the perfect law of Christ, and by the grace of Christ, St. Jerome explains this is not impossible. It is perfect. Christ never asks of us the impossible, and never throughout these 40 days will he ask of us the impossible. However, we will be gently reminded again and again throughout these 40 days that he does ask perfection. This perfect law of Christ should be fulfilled in us by the end of Lent, and that we should humbly place ourselves before all those before toward whom we have done wrong and implore their forgiveness. And we in our turn should readily forgive all those who have done evil to us. Thus we shall fulfill the perfect law of Christ, take upon his sweet yoke, and become like him, truly meek and humble of heart.